We begin tonight with a growing monkeypox health emergency. The CDC says California has more than 800 confirmed cases, with more than half of those in the Bay Area. But the State Department of Health says that number could be much higher if you count probable cases. The outbreak has now been officially classified as a national health emergency, and that could help break open resources. KPXY's Max Darrow has that story.
Monkeypox cases are on the rise in California and across the country. Nationwide, more than 7,000 confirmed cases and rising.
We're prepared to take our response to the next level in addressing this virus, and we urge every American to take monkeypox seriously and to take responsibility to help us tackle this virus.
The federal government declared monkeypox a public health emergency late this week.
This declaration by President Biden will be helpful in opening up some resources, but also allowing for faster approval of medication, as well as new, better kinds of testing. So this will definitely be a good step in fighting this outbreak.
Well, I think it may be a little late, but better late than never. And I think it will have a significant impact.
Dr. Peter Chin Hong is an infectious disease expert with UCSF. He's also on California's Monkeypox Scientific Advisory Committee. He says the declaration should help open the door to more resources, but it's also symbolic.
Saying it's a public health emergency makes every American realize that he or she is potentially impacted by what's happening right now in one population.
The majority of confirmed cases have shown up in men who have sex with men, but health officials say anyone can get infected with monkeypox. The virus primarily spreads by skin-to-skin contact or exposure to contaminated clothing or bedding. Nationwide and here in the Bay Area, people continue to line up, hopeful they'll be able to get vaccinated, as there still is a shortage of available doses.
There's a huge demand. It's fueling a lot of anxiety. A lot of people are changing plans. A lot of people are plain frightened.
On Friday evening, the San Francisco Department of Public Health announced it will receive an allotment of more than 10,000 doses of the monkeypox vaccine that will be available for distribution starting Tuesday. In San Francisco, Max Darrow, KPIX 5.
More monkeypox cases are popping up in Sonoma County. 17 cases confirmed so far. That is up from 6 cases 10 days ago. Health officials say the county's gotten 820 doses of the vaccine. And we've got a special monkeypox section on our website, kpix.com. You'll find doctor interviews and the latest on how many vaccines are coming to the Bay Area. Other big story of the weekend, day two of Outside Lands in San Francisco. Hundreds of thousands of festival goers are taking over Golden Gate Park. Milling in the crowd is KPIX 5's Sean Chitness.
Day two of Outside Lands, and it's back on its normal weekend during the summer for the first time since the pandemic. People and vendors who are participating in the event say it's one more sign that they are starting to get back to normal. Another day of live music and an equally impressive lineup of food and drinks.
It's just nice to see it sort of grow, and we get to see people really enjoying our food.
Chefs who have come to Outside Lands before were glad to be back, banking on the exposure to help bring people to their dining room after this weekend.
We still get a lot of good support from the community, and events like this give us an opportunity to build our following.
The team behind Abaca has turned their Filipino food pop-up into a proper restaurant in San Francisco, opening last year.
I'm happy to see everybody come out and finally feel comfortable to be around, you know, amongst each other.
It's that change in comfort that brought out other vendors this year, too.
It is excellent exposure for our brand, and it is my first time being at a festival of this caliber.
Wineries had the chance to showcase their selections in Winelands all weekend long. Just one of the many reasons some showed up early before the main acts took the stage on Saturday.
I rode my bike, so, you know, I live out in the avenue, so this is only a mile for me.
While those who live nearby had it easy to get in and out of the park, others said it was more of a challenge.
That was really crazy. It was really packed. Like, we went on a bus today, it was, like, really jam-packed.
Roads have been closed off in the streets immediately around the park. Drivers were warned to avoid the west side of the city all weekend, and people attending the festival are encouraged not to take their own car.
It was pretty packed too, but we took the bus, so it wasn't like driving or anything, so we don't have to worry about parking.
The traffic troubles some often try to escape is just one more sign that Outside Lands is returning to the routine many remember.
We're definitely seeing it much more alive again this year.
Reporting in San Francisco, Sean Chitness, KPIX 5.
And from the News of the Obvious Bureau, if you are traveling around the Golden Gate Park area tonight, expect to see traffic delays. Although I have to tell you, I had to drive from down south to up north.
Yeah.
I went right through the west side.
Not bad yet.
Not really a problem.
Yeah, it's right about now is when it's really feeling.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, because most of the action will start going like, you know, mid-afternoon into now. There's sun glint right now on the camera over Golden Gate Park. So that's the picture from the top of Sutro Tower looking right down on Outside Lands. The polo fields, for those of us who know the park when Outside Lands isn't happening. Here's another vantage point, a little bit higher from the Salesforce Tower. And I just want to do that because I want you to see how clear it is. That's Golden Gate Park right there. You can see Strawberry Hill, where Stowe Lake would be. But I want you to see there's not a cloud for miles. It's coming back tonight. So even though the high-resolution futurecast shows us we've got beautifully sunny skies everywhere, even at the coast right now, what a great weekend for Outside Lands. And Stern Grove's going to be great tomorrow, too. But the clouds are going to build in overnight tonight, and they'll be with us tomorrow morning. It'll be another very gray start tomorrow. We'll be in the mid-60s. At Outside Lands, the main factor is the breeze. It'll still get a bit breezy in the afternoon. We'll get a little bit of an onshore flow, and that will cool things down a bit. But watch the clouds. If they're not there now, overnight, they come back in a big way. So your Sunday morning is not going to look this clear. We'll talk about that in the rest of the First Alert forecast coming up in just a few minutes. For now, Brian, back to you.
All righty. Thank you, Darren. In other news, this Saturday evening, two separate shootings in Oakland overnight left a man dead and several others injured. Both shootings happened within a couple of blocks of each other, the first just after midnight near 14th and Webster. The second shooting about 3 in the morning near 17th and Broadway. A victim in that second shooting died at the hospital while the other three are still recovering from their injuries. One man is in grave condition. No suspects have been arrested. And South San Francisco police have arrested a man for briefly dragging an officer during a car pursuit. It all happened on San Mateo Avenue near the San Bruno border. Police say they stopped a man who suddenly drove off. In the process, the car dragged an officer on the ground. Police chased the suspect into downtown San Bruno and then smashed into two parked cars, then threw a gun out from the window. Police arrested the suspect. The injured officer is expected to recover. And a man is under arrest after robbing a bicycle shop in Palo Alto. Police say the suspect is 23-year-old Michael Lindstrom Spence from Healdsburg. It happened at Cardinal Bike Shop on El Camino Real yesterday. Police say the suspect went into the store, wanted to sell a used electric bike, was turned down. Then he faked having a weapon and threatened to shoot a worker and demanded cash. Police say the suspect ran off with the money and later was arrested. Well, it was 10 years ago today that an explosion tore through the refinery in Richmond. Massive fire sent black smoke and toxic chemicals across the city, sending thousands of residents to local hospitals. Hundreds of people gathered in Richmond for a march to remember this day. They're protesting the use of fossil fuels and the refinery itself. In the aftermath of the fire, a lot of residents developed long-term respiratory issues.
That this relationship with the fossil fuel industry has been going on for 120 years. And in between, you know, all this time, there have been so many accidents. We're saying at this point that we've had enough of waiting for the fossil fuel industry to correct itself, because it's not going to.
The cause of that explosion 10 years ago was corrosion in a pipe. Investigators from the U.S. Chemical Safety Board reported that Chevron ignored the warning signs. Other news tonight, President Biden officially has tested negative for COVID-19. President's doctor says that he'll stay in strict isolation until he has a second consecutive negative test result. The president initially tested positive for COVID on July 21st. He was, was put on a 5-day course of the antiviral drug Paxlovid. Then Mr. Biden tested positive again last weekend. The president has not left the White House in 17 days. Turning now to the economy, Americans are piling up debt at a greater rate than economists were predicting. According to the Federal Reserve, about $40 billion of debt was reported in June. That's a spike from May. Borrowing also went up by more than 10%. Revolving debt, like credit card balances, jumped by 16%. And non-revolving debt, like car and student loans, is up by almost 10%. It doesn't help that inflation is skyrocketing. The Senate is actually in session this weekend to try to pass what they are calling the Inflation Reduction Act. Michael George has that story.
It's a working weekend on Capitol Hill, where the Senate has convened to debate and vote on a sprawling bill called the Inflation Reduction Act. The bill contains provisions aimed at some of President Biden's domestic priorities, including lower health care and prescription drug costs. It also includes nearly $370 billion in spending on various climate change programs. Democrats say it would be the biggest investment of its kind in U.S. history.
This is a historic day. On wind, on solar, on all electric vehicles, a climate bank, environmental justice for millions of black, brown, indigenous people in our country.
Republicans unanimously oppose the legislation, arguing that it will hurt the economy by raising taxes.
Senate Democrats are misreading the American people's outrage as a mandate for yet another reckless taxing and spending spree.
The bill is not subject to a filibuster, but advancing it will require the support of all 50 Democrats and a tie-breaking vote by Vice President Kamala Harris. The GOP plans to introduce dozens of amendments in an effort to slow or even derail the process.
We have a bill which is a delicate balance between the moderates and the center-left and the progressive left in our conference, and any amendment to that bill could kill the bill.
A final Senate vote is not expected to take place until late Sunday or even early Monday morning. If it passes, it would move on to the House for approval. Michael George, CBS News, New York.
Well, subject to fires going to crop up this time of the year, and lightning started more of them in Northern California, this time up in Humboldt County. Pictures from the National Forest Service shows firefighters working 8 active fires, which are burning in Humboldt County in the Six Rivers National Forest. Officials say they started on Friday. They were caused by thunderstorms. Close to 400 acres have burned, and there are evacuation orders in place. We're learning more about damage from the McKinney Fire burning near the Oregon border. U.S. Forest Service says the fires destroyed at least 87 homes and 45 other buildings. Fires killed 4 people since it broke out on July 29th in Klamath National Forest, and it's burned a little over 60,000 acres. Fire is now 30% contained. Back here in the Bay Area, volunteers are staffing lookout posts in Marin County for possible fires. Michael Fisher spends his days perched atop Mount Barnaby. He helps the Marin Fire Department keep an eye out for fires, and when he spots one, he calls fire crews over to contain it. And he says this happened with a small fire last year.
If I had spotted it, say, at 3 acres instead of a third of an acre, there was wind from the east that day, and it would have gone just over the ridge and down into Woodacre. And from Woodacre, who knows, it's right next to the watershed.
I wonder what he does to pass his time up there. One thing he does is use a device to plot the location of fires that allows him to connect with another lookout spot up on Mount Tam and zero in on the exact location. And from fire to rain, flooding in Southern California, thousands of visitors left stranded at California's Death Valley National Park on Friday after heavy rain turned dry washes into raging rivers, and it didn't take much, about 1.5 inches of rain. Check it out, those rushing waters overtaking a parking area in Death Valley. Wow. Daily, the heavy conditions forced the park to close, and its surrounding roads were closed as well. There were 500 staff at the time of the flooding. Some people who were stranded were allowed to leave, but there's not many ways out of Death Valley National Park. Still, there were no injuries, but there was certainly damage to the car. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety tested its next batch of vehicles against that thing, a taller, heavier, faster barrier like the trucks and SUVs out on the road today. As Elise Preston reports, some of the popular cars in the country aren't all they're cracked up to be.
Mid-sized cars struggled against the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety's tougher side crash test. The Institute put 7 popular passenger cars to the test, which is now a 4,200-pound barrier striking the driver's side at 37 miles per hour.
Part of our redesign of the barrier was to emulate the pickup trucks and the large SUVs that are out there in the real world that are the striking vehicles in many of these crashes.
In this test group, only the Subaru Outback earned a good rating. Three cars received poor ratings. Structure was particularly compromised on two of those models. And in all three, there was a likelihood of injury.
Either one or both of the female dummies' heads slipped below the side curtain airbag and struck the windowsill.
IIHS says one reason for the group's disappointing performance is the lower ride height. But President David Harkey is confident automakers will respond.
All of these vehicles had good ratings in our original side test. I have no doubt that they will get to a point that they will get them back to having a good rating in our updated side test.
The Institute plans to test smaller passenger cars and smaller pickup trucks to see how well they protect passengers. Elise Preston, CBS News.
Some areas of California are getting help with fire season with a bit of rain, but the rain shifts concern from fire to the risk of slides and burn scars like the Caldor Fire in El Dorado County. It's never perfectly good news, is it? Here's CBS reporter Madison Keevy on what's being done to prevent the mudslides.
10,000 hazardous trees have been removed from the footprint of the Caldor Fire. These burn-scarred areas are susceptible to flash flood, mudslides, and debris flows because the ground is weak. This work with the goal to make it safer. The sounds of progress along Highway 50 in the burn-scarred areas where the Caldor Fire tore through nearly a year ago. The work is a key step to prevent more damage, like mudslides or debris flows caused by another weather event.
Culverts, over 30 culverts on one project had to be replaced, similar on the other. Erosion control, rock stabilization work, catch basins, paving, sign damage. So it was really extensive all the way through on both projects. The corridor was damaged in just about every area you can think of.
The what ifs after a fire in areas left scarred played out in real time for Alpine County this week. Along Highway 89 near Markleyville, a stretch of road closed because of blocked culverts and washed out road. In areas impacted by the Caldor Fire, a different story for now.
Part of the difficulty with an emergency contract is you don't have things planned and designed. So you'll go into it and find things that you didn't know were there. You know, there might be another 100, 200 trees that we didn't assess on the first go around that we were like, okay, we got to do something about this.
Progress has been made in El Dorado County in steeper areas among the burn scars, new growth and vegetation, which is critical to prevent mudslides.
And away they go. Five penguin chicks waddled their way to their new home at San Francisco Zoo. Penguin chicks had just graduated from fish school. Darren, are penguins fish?
I don't think they are. Maybe they graduated to fishing school.
Well, they eat fish. We know that. They were swimming and socializing with caretakers, and we'll be doing the same thing between now and 11 o'clock tonight. Thanks for watching. Have a good Saturday evening.